That's weird to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
So what made you want to pursue it further than that after you got a little taste of the crowd in kindergarten?
Stardom.
Yeah, once you got a taste of stardom, what made you want to actually like continue with it and actually pursue it as a career?
Because I wanted to be like my mom. I just wanted to be like my mom. That's all I wanted. I wasn't even thinking career or anything like that.
Right.
I was like, I just want to be just like my mom when I grow up. I think that's what every little girl wants, you know, to be like their moms.
I don't think everyone wants to be like their
mom. Okay, you know what? That was maybe too far.
I think you
far.
Had a special mom, so maybe that's my mom. Probably why.
Oh, wait.
You what?
Elaborate.
She was a cool person.
Okay.
Still is. I don't know why I said was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
But as a like a performing mom, like seeing your mom performing, that looks pretty cool. I would probably like,
right? Absolutely.
That's more what it was that would draw her to, you know, wanting to continue performing, is watching how awesome it looks and how much fun she probably was having.
Yeah.
But
exciting.
When you decided that, did you talk to your mom about, and that, did she have any trepidation about her daughter doing the exact same thing that she was doing?
No, she's just proud of me.
Yeah.
She's like, just encouraging and smiling. She never said anything negative. I was going to say, except for, you're great, but that's not negative.
No, not at all.
She just looks at me and she's proud of me and she encourages me.
Wow. So after kindergarten, when did this start to become a thing or more of a thing?
Well, during school, like every year in school, a lot of times I was the new kid. And I was a loner a lot of the times. And I would probably sit and hum to myself like a weirdo. And then somebody would always say, oh, you could sing. And then they'd bring me over to a bigger group of kids and say, sing for these guys and sing for these guys. And then I'd start singing. And then the kids realized that I could sing. And then they turned on me like, she's a show off. Oh, my God. I went through that so many times.
Oh, right. Really? That same thing happened over and over?
Over
again?
And over.
That's interesting.
That is.
So they would bring you out. What grade would that be?
Every grade, man. No. Every grade. Story
so
of my life.
Would bring you out and parade your skills.
Yes.
And then...
turn
same,
on me.
Same kids would get upset that you're talented.
Later on, yeah.
Hero always becomes the villain, right?
Yeah. Let's call them out. We have a podcast.
No, no. What are their names?
Who's laughing where do they now?
Live? Emily Flores. Ooh. And... no, I'm joking.
That name sounds too specific.
There's an Emily Flores crying somewhere right now.
I didn't even know her.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Were you always writing, too?
You know what? I wouldn't write things down, but I would create my own version of songs that I liked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether it was just manipulating the melody or singing an alternate harmony.
Yeah.
So I was always creating in some way. Yeah. And then I would, I had a tape recorder. It's actually two tape recorders.
Yeah.
And I would hold it up to the radio and...
and tape recorded?
It, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then I would sing a harmony and then do doubles with the other one and
engineer.
Then stack, right?
<Yeah.
laughs> Stacking with tape recorders. But I didn't know what I was doing. I just, you know, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is fun.
Yeah. That's funny, yeah.
Melly, did you know that that's how multi-track recording was invented?
No, I really didn't.
Creator?
By Les Paul, the person that invented that white guitar up there. He also invented multi-track recording. And the way he did that was he got two tape machines.
I seen this video.
He record into one. Yeah. And then he would... play that back and record into another while he played something on top. So you just reinvented multi-tracking. That's incredible.
That I didn't know.
At a young age.
Where's my check?
Yeah. So you get something for, have you ever like had an amazing idea and it really was your idea and then you look it up and somebody else came up with
it?
Yeah,
that so happened very recently.
Because that's a $1 billion idea that you came up with yourself before you knew it was a thing.
Yeah.
Jeez,
that's amazing.
Like,
great money.
She's a genius.
That was seven.
Yeah, both seven. Wow.
That's hilarious. Weird. Who did you listen to back then? Who were your favorite artists?
You know what? I've always listened to old school music that's older than me because, I mean... I like my mom's favorite stuff and like Motown stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've always been listening to like Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, the Supremes, Dinah Ross and the Supremes, Gladys Knight.
Mm. Do you remember what song you were trying to record off the radio?
No. No, and it wasn't one time.
Oh, it was like
a bunch of times. Do you have any of those tapes?
Practice. Yeah.
No, I don't. Like, come on,
tapes.
Right, tapes.
Yeah,
jeez.
I know. I'm looking for some lozenges.
If you do find them somewhere, bring them here. We'll restore them.
There you go.
Thank you. I don't think I'll find those.
You have to believe.
And then, so what happened next in your journey? You went to an art school, right?
I did. I guess that was high school. Earl Higgs School of the Arts. But before that, okay, because my mom was touring so much, I had a babysitter that I actually lived with.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And her kids would, they took music lessons. So every morning for half an hour, one of the kids would be practicing and they would wake up the whole house. One played piano and the other played guitar. And I was hearing this every morning, every morning, every morning. So then I went over to the piano and I figured out how to play what the other kid was playing. Because it's like, how many times can you hear the same thing and not? It's like, okay, how are you doing this?
Right.
Even though I didn't ask him, I just went and started doing it. So then I was like, she needs lessons. It's like, why? Why do I need lessons if I could do what he's doing? And he's been taking lessons for 5 years.
Right.
But yeah, I ended up having piano lessons.
Okay, nice.
And it's terrible. I would say that that was nice, but I was using my ears the whole time. And then my teacher realized it like 3 years in because she's
three
like,
three years
this.
In?
Yeah.
It's a long time not to catch on to that.
Catch.
Well, that's the thing.
Who's this teacher?
I don't remember her name.
Let's call everybody out.
I don't remember her name. But I remember she said, play it from this part. And I start from the beginning. She goes, no, from this part. And I turned to her and I said, I'll get there. Oh. I'm approaching there, you know, because it was a muscle memory thing. And I'm listening. Yeah. It's like, okay, it goes like this. It goes like that.
Yeah,
you know, the music progression.
Yeah.
She goes, wait a minute. Play it right from this part. And I was like, oh, Lord. And I started going, every good dog deserves. Right? It's counting what it is measuring. It's like, I hate counting and measuring. It's the worst. She realized that I was faking it, but faking the reading part. But you know what? A lot of the greatest musicians, they don't read.
Right.
Like Oscar Peterson, he didn't read. He just played. Mm-hmm. Right?
Stevie Wonder doesn't read.
Doesn't
read.
Yeah, I guess not. Wow.
Good point. Because I did that too. I was like, wait.
Yeah, we all did. Right. Like, record scratch. Yeah, you're right.
That are there Braille notations? There's got to be.
There's got to be.
Okay.
100%.
We'll look it up.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
That is interesting.
There's got to be.
But then you can't play with both hands.
Read. Yeah.
You
maybe
to,
it's like a pre switch.
Right. Or maybe you like take a couple bars in.
You'd be taking sections and memorizing probably.
Yeah.
Repeating. Interesting. You always ask these questions that just make us all just sit in silence. Go, like, I want to think more, but I got to keep talking.
Things that make you go.
We'll get Steve on the next episode and we'll ask him.
Yeah.
A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay. You've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music. That's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.
Maybe not next, but...
soon.
Yeah.
In two or three.
Oh, yeah. So back to art school, because I think that's where you're leading up with your
So then,
defiance and piano lessons.
Yes, after the piano lessons and all that stuff, I went to Earl Higgs School of the Arts, where I met a lot of like-minded people that I still know today.
Did the perception of you change? Because I know you were saying before everyone was kind of making fun of you. When you went to art school, were you still being...
Wait. When you say making fun of me, I didn't mention that I was a tomboy and I was the strongest and fastest and... Yeah.
So there was no more fights?
There was. I actually didn't need to fight.
Oh, they just knew. They just knew what time it was?
Because I was quiet. I was very shy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was into sports a lot. And I 100 meter, long distance, high jump. I could jump the highest till grade 6. Everybody, they outgrew me. I was still the little one, but I could jump, man.
Yeah, girls, like before puberty... girls would always kick my ass. I feel like girls are naturally stronger until we have that advantage.
Until you get a little older.
Yeah. Right?
That's hilarious. It's so true. Yeah.
Where were we?
Art school.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and meeting like-minded individuals there.
Yes, it was really nice. And then I skipped a lot of classes. But you know what? Going to art school was amazing because it was like fame. Mm. There's the dancers, mm. there's the musicians, there's somebody sitting in the hall playing like a big upright cello.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was mandatory for, I was a singer, right? And I was taking a vocal classes, but it was mandatory to take dance classes too.
Oh.
And it actually reminded me of fame
mm-hmm.
because the dancers would be in their dance gear and, you right. know, walking down the hallways and yeah, stuff. Yeah. And, you know, ballerinas. Ballerinas are like their posture and everything. Graceful, they're just yeah. graceful yeah, yeah, yeah. and beautiful and intimidating.
For sure. yeah, yeah.
But, you know, what I was saying was that it was mandatory to take a dance class. And I'd never done choreographed dance ever.
Right.
So I was taking jazz and something else and made me realize I'm not a dancer. The teacher would be like, okay, this is the choreography, show us. And she'd go, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. And everybody go this way and I'd be that way. And I was like, oh no. And I'm chasing after them trying to catch up. Right. I'm like, what are we doing? I was like, what a disaster.
Well, that's a big part of school too, especially art school, is learning what's not your strength, but still understanding why it's not your strength.
Right. Yeah.
So you know who to hire later.
Right? 100%. Oh my gosh. But I did really enjoy it.
Was it really competitive?
No. I didn't find it competitive.
Hmm. Do they teach like how to write songs in art school?
Not at all.
What?
I always wondered
they
that.
Didn't teach me. But then again, like I said, I was doing a lot of skipping.
Right. Oh, you might not have known. So when did you start actually like putting pen to pad?
As an adult, I went out with some girlfriends and we were at a party. No, we were at a party and it was like there was basketball players or something and the girls, I wasn't single. I was just kind of sitting there right. and the girls are like, oh, let's go talk to those guys and these guys. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so bored.
Right.
I ended up sitting next to this dude who was, I ended up talking to and he was like, oh, I make music. I was like, oh, really? I said, I'm a singer.
Right.
Like, that's really cool. So I exchanged numbers with him and he ended up sending me some beats. So even though I've always been a singer and I've always been able to sing, I've never had to create music, like write a song.
Right.
So I just tried,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the first song was Housework Makes Me Sick. And how that came about was that I was cleaning the house and I was listening to these beats and I just started singing about what I was doing.
Huh.
And I wrote it down, put harmonies behind it. So being musical in the first place, the harmonies and stuff, easy.
Right.
Easy. Remember, that was my thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With my tape recorders and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to actually write a song, I was like, whoa. And I do have like